This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates. Yes, here on another episode of Checkpoint Intimates, where we take a topic and we talk about it intimately.
We get intimate.
We do. And I'm here with Archer, who I do get intimate with on a regular basis.
We do
but
get intimate.
Here we are on the show, getting intimate together. Now, today's topic, I want to talk about partly your review, Archer, because you just reviewed or still playing Mass Effect Andromeda.
Mm-hmm.
Massive release, right? Mm. Huge.
Is that a pun?
Well, it could be. But, I mean, this is a game that's been anticipated for a very long time. Now, you're a massive fan of Mass Effect. You've played...
You keep doing it.
I can't help it now. It's just happening all the time. You played all three of them. You love them. You were so hyped about this game when I met you.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
Mass Effect's favorite game series ever. Like, I pretensed my review of, like, I love this series. It's my favorite series.
Yeah.
But I felt I was being a bit overly harsh in my review of it because I was a fan. But then again, that's really hard to introspectively analyze and then try to dissect what is an issue of being a fan and then what is an issue of, like, this is actually a legitimate problem of the game.
Yeah, and that's what we're here to talk about, because when you are a fan of something, and it's the same with movies or TV shows or things that you really love that you're into in terms of pop culture, you do go into new seasons or new sequels or whatever it might be with a certain level of expectation,
mm-hmm.
and it's impossible to shake that. Now, you said in your review you found it hard to, like, objectively look at some things because you were a fan. However, arguably, the game has been made for you. It's been made for fans.
Very true. And every review is a subjective interpretation of the game anyway. There's not going to be an objective review. Like, an objective review of Mass Effect would be, it is a game, it is featured in space, it has characters, and there we go.
Every game ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, to look at Mass Effect, you know, to look at it and try and judge it when you have a certain level. So, I mean, your main issue with it, based on your review, I gather, is that you didn't feel like there was enough new, exciting things that made it kind of a game changer. It kind of felt like almost a reboot of the first one, but not really that great.
To me, it kind of felt like... So you have a television series that you really enjoy, and say it went on for like 9 seasons, but you remember like the middle ones around like season 5, 6, and 7 just felt like they were going through the motions of like, this is what people want from the show. This is what they're expecting. It didn't push the envelope any. That's what kind of feels like. It's like, if you love Mass Effect and just want more Mass Effect, then that's what it is. And that's great. But I want more from a game. Like, I'm a critic and a development student, so I'm looking for stuff that's really pushing what we can do and what we're experiencing and having new things and really building on the formula and the format, which I was a bit let down with.
I think importantly, yeah, you're a critic and you're a game student, but importantly, you're a fan.
Yes.
You know, you're a fan of you're a gamer, and that is sometimes the toughest critic. You know, because it's people that have such a passion for this industry and for certain games. And when you've waited so long for a game to come out, like Andromeda, I mean, how long was the development cycle for that game since the third one?
It's been a long time. I can't remember the third
one. 5 or 6 years, maybe? Feels like that long.
Could have been 2010, the third one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long time between drinks. I mean, I'm going through the same thing right now because I'm about to start playing Persona 5.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you hear this, I will have probably been playing it for hundreds of hours. But I am so excited for this game. Persona 4 came out over 10 years ago. 10 years.
And it's a favorite of yours.
It's a favorite of mine. So then to have this new thing, which I'm so excited for, and I cannot help but be hyped. And people say, well, don't get on the hype train. Don't get on the hype machine. Just try and relax and you'll enjoy it more. But I can't help but be hyped when I loved the previous one so much. And here I am, basically frothing at the mouth for this game to come out. And I know that it's going to have maybe some elements that I don't like, and that, I mean, hopefully it doesn't, but it probably will, because you can't possibly have a perfect game. So I'm worried about, have I loved the past one so much that I can't possibly love this one in the same way?
Yeah, and I think that's where Mass Effect in particular let itself down, because it is so similar to the last one that it begs for the comparison, and that just loses it. Like, you can't really compare Dragon Age Inquisition to Dragon Age 2, because despite being in the franchise and being quite similar, they're still very different, and there's lots of different elements between them.
Sure.
Whereas Mass Effect Andromeda, it operates almost identically to how Mass Effect did, and I just wanted more out of it than what it was providing.
Mm. I think another one that had a similar issue recently was Gears of War.
Mm-hmm.
So Gears of War 4 came out last year. Once again, I was so hyped. Love that game franchise. But it didn't do much different, you know? It did the game well. It was fine. But the developers, they're actually relatively new developers to Gears of War. They worked on the remastered version for Xbox One, and then they made Gears of War 4, taking a lot of cues from the previous Gears of War games.
Yeah, and you definitely have to consider the surrounding elements of these things as well. So that's a completely new developer. And the same thing happened with Halo when they switched developers.
Right.
I feel they don't want to alienate their audience by changing too much immediately, because then people would just be like, oh, it's no longer what it was.
Well, more importantly, they don't want to make big changes and fuck it up.
Yes, that's even worse.
The fans, they will tear you apart in this industry. I mean, online, social media, the way people react to things that go wrong in games. I mean, poor Mass Effect, before it even came out, weeks before it came out, it was getting all these posts about how terrible the animations were, videos online,
from
photos.
People who played under 8 hours of it. So this was a demo, and people were like, oh, we're right off.
Yeah. I mean, it's so hard now. If you do anything, and that's no wonder they have embargoes so strict. No wonder game publishers don't let you review games till the day they come out, because people are so harsh, man. Like, they just tear things apart needlessly sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I think with a game like Mass Effect, when it has so much hype behind it and so many fans that are waiting, and they're so desperate for new content, they're desperate for any image they can possibly see, that's where it gets really dangerous.
I know developers who worked on Mass Effect, and it's hard to be so critical of something that had so much love go into it. And that's something we need to remember as gamers and critics as well, that these are products and pieces of art that people have poured their time and energy and love into.
Right.
On the note of just considering everything surrounding a release as well, like, I just came off the back of reviewing a, like, incredible brand new IP title that I felt did so much so well, which is so much more difficult than I feel launching a sequel, because you have a sequel, you still have a platform and a base to build off. So seeing Horizon Zero Dawn succeed in doing so much, and then having Mass Effect let me down by comparison, it probably affected my interpretation as well. But then we have so many things that come into consideration. So you have the development cycles and who works on things. Mass Effect itself struggled with losing, I think, 4 or 5 lead writers throughout its time in development as well.
And we understand these things. Being sort of in the industry, we see these things happen, and we can step back and go, well, there's reasons for this. There were development struggles, or there was money problems, or whatever it might be in these games where things don't quite go the way they planned. However, the average consumer doesn't know these things.
Of course.
Secondly, they don't care about these things. All they care about is their return on investment on a game. So they pay their $80 at wherever, and they get their game home, and they expect a certain amount of quality, and they expect it to be what they want. They want it to be everything they want and more. And if a game doesn't deliver on those things they expect and they hope for, it winds up being a massive disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they try and do new things, sometimes it doesn't work out. And you're right, I think new IP, it does have that freedom, because people don't have those preconceived notions of what a game should be. They just go, oh, well, I've seen some trailers, it looks really cool. So then when Horizon or whatever introduces like a new gameplay mechanic or something that's a bit different, or they tweak it just enough to make it different, everyone goes, woo, that was really cool. I haven't seen that before.
It's an excellent balance, because while you don't have any preconceptions, you also don't have a pre-existing fan base. Yeah. I think Horizon launched themselves really well of framing their game of, like, if you like these games, you'll probably be able to get into Horizon, because you could look at it and see what the type of game it was, but it still had the freedom to do what it wanted and introduce new mechanics and have its own identity. And identity is a great word for it, because I feel that's what Andromeda lacks, is a actual central identity to what it is, separate from the original Mass Effect trilogy.
Right.
It wants to be completely separate and its own thing, but it doesn't do enough to actually form its own identity as an intellectual property. It's another Mass Effect.
Yeah, there's a real benefit. You're sort of thinking about it now with sequels and stuff. There's a lot of game franchises where they have all these sequels. That's more of a Japanese thing. So I'm going to talk about JRPGs a little bit. But they tend to have sequels, but they keep some things. However, the actual game overall can be totally different.
Mm-hmm.
So they have different characters. They'll have different worlds to explore. However, there's key things they keep that keep it connected up. So Final Fantasy is the perfect example where every game is slightly different. However, they've got new characters and stuff like that. But then they also have things that are really clear across Final Fantasy in terms of how the world works, how the magic might work, expectations around certain monsters being there and stuff like that. So it kind of successfully does new things but keeps it within the same branding.
Mm-hmm.
I think that helps it in terms of you don't have those same expectations because they do change things enough where you know it's going to be different and feel different.
Yeah, to compare to a medium of something other than video games, did you ever watch Stargate?
Yeah.
Did you watch Stargate Atlantis?
Yes.
Andromeda feels like it wanted to do a similar thing that Stargate Atlantis did.
Right.
But I don't think it separated itself as a spin-off nearly well enough and formed its own identity because Atlantis was almost exactly the same formula as SG-1.
Sure.
Except it was all new characters, entirely new location, which is what Mass Effect Andromeda did, but it had a core identity to it that you could tell this isn't the same show, this is a different thing.
Yeah.
Where Andromeda, I think this is also a bit of a marketing failure where it wasn't separated enough in how it was defined. It was just like, this is another Mass Effect. When it doesn't actually, like, the name Mass Effect even is a misnomer because the mass relays don't exist and the whole idea of Mass Effect is no longer nearly as core to the idea in Andromeda.
Right, so could they have called it something else and that would have made you feel people feel different about it possibly?
Possibly. If they went with, like, I don't know, if they changed the naming scheme, it could have given a better impression. Like, I don't know, call it just Andromeda and then like a Mass Effect story or something.
Yeah.
That could have been like, okay, so it's a related universe, but like this is a new intellectual property.
Yeah.
I feel like that could have helped because like how you present something, it can completely change how people interpret it.
Yeah, just calling it Andromeda and then do Andromeda 2 rather than Mass Effect Andromeda. Yeah, that could work. I think that you're right. I mean, we on the show last week, we talked about, you know, naming games and how important it is and how naming things that are the same can be kind of stupid and stuff like that, and how people seem to reuse certain names as branding, even though it might not even be similar to what it used to be, but they use it because people go, ah, I know what that name is, so I will buy it. Well, at least that's the logic behind it.
Oh, definitely.
It. So I think that, yeah, when you put a name on something, you slap a name on a certain brand, a certain game, people go into it with pretty unrealistic expectations a lot of the time.
And it's definitely something, it's a branding thing. So
I
can see why that, my suggestion there definitely wouldn't have been chosen because the Mass Effect brand holds a lot of weight. And you see that really being used in like the new Telltale series. So it's Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, a Telltale series. You have three different brands being pushed in one title.
Sure.
They're desperately trying to hook you in with something that you enjoy.
Yeah, yeah.
And unfortunately, while it is a good idea, so you're presenting to your audience, I don't think BioWare necessarily needed to do that because I think BioWare's name would have held
enough
weight.
That's what I was going to say. Just saying it's a BioWare game gives it a certain level of... but even that has expectations around their quality as well because they do have such a good reputation.
But labeling it less Mass Effect as like the core thing, I think would have dissuaded from the direct comparison of the original trilogy.
Mm. We'll have to see how it does ultimately. I mean, Mass Effect Andromeda, it's available. Some people are loving it. Some people are hating on it. It happens with every sequel. It can't be avoided. And it's going to keep on happening.
Are you looking at playing it? Have you played the original?
I played the original. Didn't love the originals that much. And hearing about this one, I might borrow it off you and give it a go and see what I think for sure. But I am definitely, Persona 5 is my next like mission, you know?
Oh, we're all so busy. What happened with life?
I know. Thank you for joining me today, Archer.
Thank you, Luke.
It's been nice to get intimate with you.
Oh, again.
I know, right?
Second time
seeing
today.
Those muscles burst out that shirt. Ooh. Oh, girl. All those gym selfies. I can't. This has been Checkpoint Intimates. This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.